Charlie. We are now again recording, again, still at 9:25.
Okay, so we will move then back to agenda item 6A, case 2206, Braden Easley, PTA. Members of the board, this is administrative hearing, a formal hearing. So this is the date, time, and place where the matter dealing with Braden Easley, PTA, case 2206, is scheduled to be heard by the Arizona State Board of Physical Therapy. The subject of this hearing is set forth in the complaint of notice hearing. This is a formal administrative hearing to determine if there have been violations of the board's statutes and rules and whether disciplinary action is warranted. Board members present for the hearing, Mindy, would you call, Judy, will you call roll, please?
I will. Dr. King.
Present.
Dr. Bastillo.
Here.
Mr. Leone.
Here.
Dr. Cornwall.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton is absent. We do have Ms. Monique Cody as the independent advisor in this case.
Ms. Cody, are you present?
Yes, this is Monique Cody from the Attorney General's Office as your independent advisor.
Great, thanks so much. Okay. Let the record show that the board members have been furnished with copies of the complaint and notice of hearing and all pleadings of record. So will the parties identify themselves first, the state, and then the respondent?
Dr. King, members of the board, good morning. Mark Harris on behalf of the state.
Thank you. And then is Braden Easley, are you present? Or anyone representing Mr. Easley? Let the record show that there was no response to Mr. Easley or counsel being present. So would counsel for the state verify that the respondent was properly served, and has the respondent responded to the complaint?
Dr. King, yes. During the state's presentation of the case, it will go over the various methods in which we attempted to serve Mr. Easley. He was served in accordance with the board's statutes, meaning certified mail. In addition to that, he was also provided a copy of the complaint via email and regular mail, and he has not answered.
Thank you. A hearing of this nature differs from a court proceeding. The technical rules of evidence do not apply. Reliable hearsay evidence is admissible. The board will entertain objections concerning irrelevant, repetitious, or otherwise inadmissible evidence. However, the board is the sole judge of the weight given of the evidence received. In a disciplinary proceeding, the state bears the burden of proof and shall go first and present its case. If the respondent was present, he would then present his case. After it hears the evidence and the arguments of the parties, the board will deliberate and decide whether to dismiss the case or take appropriate disciplinary actions. All persons who are called as witnesses in this matter, please, at this time, we're going to swear you in. Judy, do you mind swearing in the witnesses, please?
Yes.
Judy, I believe that there will only be one witness, and that would be Mindy Richardson.
Okay. Ms. Richardson, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Richardson, you're muted.
I do.
Thank you.
Okay. Before hearing testimony from witnesses, are there any preliminary matters that the board should consider? Is there anything else that we need to consider before you make your opening statement, Mr. Harris?
Dr. King, members of the board, I will be during my examination of Ms. Richardson referring to a number of exhibits. I believe that they may have been uploaded to your
consolidated drive. They've been uploaded to the consolidated drive. You have access to them now. They're in a separate folder.
And if it's okay, Dr. King, maybe we can just take a moment to confirm that the board members do have access to the state's exhibits.
I can confirm I have them. Does everyone have a chance to make sure that you have the exhibits?
Yeah, I'm
seeing exhibits 1 through 9.
Correct.
So if there's no objections, we will admit those exhibits into evidence.
You could do that now, or you could wait till I present them.
Okay.
It's up to you.
Okay. Is there a preference for that, Mr. Harris?
Perhaps after the state's presentation, after I walk through those exhibits.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Would you like to go ahead and start with an opening statement, Mr. Harris?
Sure. Thank you, Dr. King, members of the board. You may remember Mr. Easley. He is a PTA, and in September of 20, you issued him a non-disciplinary order for continuing education. In essence, you gave him, according to that order, 6 months to complete 9 hours of continuing education, 6 hours in documentation, and 3 hours in billing and coding. To date, he hasn't done any of the continuing education hours. And since the board issued the non-disciplinary order to Mr. Easley, the board, in all of its attempts to find out the status of his compliance with the board or non-disciplinary order and leading up to this morning's hearing, have not been able to successfully contact Mr. Easley. As a result, we are here today for me to present all of the information and all of the board's efforts, and then to ask you, after hearing all the evidence, to possibly consider adopting the factual allegations set forth in the complaint as your findings of fact, adopting the notice of allegations of unprofessional conduct as your conclusions of law. And then I'll defer to you, but I'll ask that you consider revoking Mr. Easley's certificate of practice as a PTA. And with that, Dr. King, I am prepared to call Ms. Richardson as my witness.
Thank you.
Ms. Richardson, can you please state your full name for the record?
Melinda Richardson.
And Mindy, is it okay if I refer to you by your first name?
Yes.
And what is your position with the board?
I am the board's investigator.
And as the board's investigator, is one of your responsibilities to monitor compliance with its orders?
That is correct.
And are you familiar with Mr. Easley?
Yes, I am.
And is he certified by the board?
He is. His certification is 013513.
And is it active?
Yes.
In September of 20, did the board issue him a non-disciplinary order?
They did. It was non-disciplinary order number 19-48, issued on 9/24/20.
And Mindy, is a true and correct copy of that order identified States Exhibit 1?
That's correct.
And can you just summarize what the terms of the order were?
He was given continuing education in the area of documentation, 6 hours, 3 hours of coding and billing, and his expiration was 6 months, so it would have expired March 24th of 21.
Has Mr. Easley complied with the order?
He has not.
Did you attempt to contact Mr. Easley regarding his compliance?
I did.
And can I ask you to take a look at State's Exhibit 2 and tell us if these are emails that you sent him?
Let me just pull that up. Exhibit. That's correct.
And can you just briefly summarize your efforts to reach out to Mr. Easley?
I sent him an email on 12/27/21 asking the status of his completion of his non-disciplinary order. Didn't receive anything back, so I re-emailed him the same request on 1/12/2022.
And did you receive anything in response to that second email?
No, there was there has been no response.
As a result, do you know if this matter came before the board at its January meeting?
Yes, it did.
And were you present?
I was.
Was Mr. Easley?
He was not.
Was he notified of the meeting, Mindy?
Yes, he was.
At the meeting, did you provide the board with an update of his compliance with the board order?
I did.
Is Exhibit 3 a true and correct copy of your update?
Yes, it is.
Do you recall, Mindy, what the board did at that meeting?
They opened a new complaint, 22-06, for noncompliance with a non-disciplinary order.
And is Exhibit 4 a true and correct copy of the letter that Ms. Chappius, the board's executive director, sent to Mr. Easley?
That's correct.
Also, as because the board opened up a complaint, did you, as the board's investigator, reach out to Mr. Easley?
Yes, I did.
And is that letter identified as State's Exhibit 5?
Yes, it is.
And can you just summarize what this letter is?
It's our standard notification of a complaint and request for response. Mr. Easley was given, as required, 30 days to submit his response. The deadline for which was established to be March 10th of 2022.
And did he respond, Mindy?
He did not.
What did you do next?
At that point, I completed an investigative report and submitted that to the board and it was reviewed as an initial review.
And did that initial review take place at the board's April meeting?
Yes, it did.
And were you present?
Yes, I was.
Was Mr. Easley present?
He was not.
Was he notified of the meeting?
Yes, he was.
And is Exhibit 6 a copy, a true and correct copy of the letter that was sent regarding that meeting?
Yes, I did. Correct.
And I believe, Mindy, you previously testified that at that meeting you provided the board with an update.
Yes, I did.
Is Exhibit 7 a true and correct copy of that update?
Yes, it is.
Do you recall what the board did?
They remanded the matter to a formal hearing.
Mindy, is Exhibit 8 a true and correct copy of the complaint and notice of hearing that was issued in this manner?
Yes.
Was it sent to his address of record?
It was.
Do you know if any other attempts to provide Mr. Easley with a copy of the complaint and notice of hearing were made?
I believe Ms. Chippius also sent an email dated May 13th of 2022.
Mindy, did Mr. Easley respond to the complaint notice of hearing?
He has not.
Mindy, as of today, has Mr. Easley complied with the terms of the non-disciplinary order?
No, he has not.
Thank you. Dr. King, members of the board, those are all the questions that I have for Ms. Richardson. At the appropriate time, I would like to move State's Exhibits 1 through 9 into evidence. We did not discuss Exhibit 9, and I would just ask that you take administrative notice of that's the statute as it relates to the allegation of unprofessional conduct, which is failure to comply with the board order.
Thank you. Yes. Are there any objections to moving Exhibits 1 through 9 into admission? Okay. Do we need to make a motion for that, Mr. Harris?
I'll defer to Ms. Cody.
Second member of the board. A motion is not necessary. As the board president, you can go ahead and admit them into evidence. So you just make a statement. I have now admitted Exhibits 1 through 9 into evidence.
Okay. So I now admit Exhibits 1 through 9 into evidence. Thank you. Does the state rest?
It does, Dr. King. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Given that the respondent is not here or a representative, this concludes the evidentiary portion of the administrative hearing, and the board will now hear closing arguments. Mr. Harris, would you like to present a closing argument?
Sure. Dr. King, members of the board, these are never, fun cases. The board, received a complaint. They reviewed it and dismissed it with a non-disciplinary order for continuing education. And we're here today. And I'm asking you to consider revoking his certification, over that initial matter. But one of the, cornerstones of being a certificate holder is the privilege of practicing, and that comes with being held accountable. And for whatever reason, since the board issued that non-disciplinary order, Mr. Easley has not been accountable, not only to the public but to the board. And as a result, I asked again that you consider adopting the factual allegations set forth in the complaint as your findings of fact. The allegations of unprofessional conduct or the allegation of unprofessional conduct as your conclusion of law. And then seriously consider issuing a order revoking his certification for failure to comply with the board order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Having heard the testimony and reviewed the evidence and arguments of the parties, the board will now discuss the case. Are there any general discussions or motions around findings of fact?
I echo Mr. Harris's comments. This is a situation where apparently the certificate holders just not regulable. We gave them an opportunity. We reviewed the case, and the one thing we can't do is work with people who refuse to work with us. And so, I'm in favor of adopting the findings of fact and revoking the certification.
Second.
Well, not necessarily a motion, but I'm happy to make one.
Would you like to make a motion? Mr. Greer,
I can if we're done with discussion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
I'm in agreement with you guys as well. This is a responsibility that you have when you hold a certificate or a license, and I think that this individual has proved that he's not somebody who should be holding that privilege.
I totally agree with you, and I think that the exhibits and the number of times attempting to try and reach him to help mitigate the situation really speaks to how seriously we take certification and licensure and what a privilege it is, and it's always tough to see someone not take it as seriously as we do. Mr. Greer, would you like to make a motion for findings of fact for ARS 32-20-44-1?
I will. I move that we adopt the factual allegations set forth in the complaint, specifically paragraphs 1 through 5. In addition to these 5 paragraphs, I move that we find that the board made repeated efforts to contact Mr. Easley to inform him of this meeting of these issues, and that these efforts were unsuccessful in getting Mr. Easley to respond to the allegations in the complaint, that Mr. Easley has failed to respond to the allegations of the complaint. And before that one, the board's efforts are set forth in the exhibits 1 through 8.
Second.
Excuse me, this is, I'm sorry to interrupt Dr. King. Mr. Greer, could you, in your motion, include that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence? That's the statutory standard, so we like to have that, has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence, the factual allegations. And then on the exhibits, you mentioned exhibits 1 through 8, I believe. Yeah, you can leave those 1 through 8 because 1 through 9 is just the statute.
Yeah, 9 is just the statutory, just the statute.
Yeah, we're fine with 1 through 8, but just if you could modify your motion that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence these factual allegations.
So let me try this one more time.
Oh, you can just add that. You don't need to repeat the whole
thing. Okay, so added.
Perfect, because that will be in the order. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ms. Cody. And now I'll second. Is there any discussion? Okay. Judy, can you call the vote, please?
So it's been moved and seconded to adopt all the factual allegations as set forth in the complaint in paragraphs 1 through 5 as findings of fact. The state has demonstrated with a preponderance of evidence that these findings of fact are accurate. Multiple efforts have been made to contact Mr. Easley. Mr. Easley has not responded. I'm not 100% certain. I'm paraphrasing fully all of the details. Do we require all of the details in the motion of the hearing, or is it basically just the findings of fact with state demonstrating the preponderance of evidence?
And Dr. King, Ms. Tapias, I think that you're fine with that. That was the rationale was provided by Mr. Greer, and you paraphrased it nicely. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Motion passes.
This is Mr. Greer. I would move that the findings of fact show a violation of ARS 32-2044-1, violating a written board order. And I would request that we revoke Mr. Easley's certificate to practice in the state of Arizona.
Mr. Greer, Dr. King, members of the board, I am sorry to interrupt again. Would you mind making a new motion or modifying that motion to adopt the conclusions of law that are in the complaint and notice of hearing?
There's only allegations of unprofessional conduct in the complaint.
So we have a motion and approved for adopting the findings of fact. So I think what you're asking, Ms. Cody, is that we now have a motion for adopting the conclusions of law.
Right. And Mr. Greer is correct. I mean, he did include the one, but there are three allegations, and there's only one finding that there was a violation. There's the board's authority. So typically the motion would be to adopt the allegations of unprofessional conduct as the findings of fact that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence that violation that Mr. Greer has stated.
Okay. So is Mr. Greer's motion okay as it stands then?
Mr. Greer, I would just ask if you perhaps consider revising it. You move that the board finds that the state has demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence that the factual allegations in the complaint.
Didn't we do that in the last one, though?
It's really confusing. I know these people that write these requirements, there's the findings of fact, and then there's the conclusions of law, and then there's the order. So it's actually three separate motions. And it's confusing. All the boards have a lot of questions, it seems.
And I don't like to quibble with my attorney, but we don't find conclusions of law by the preponderance of the evidence. The evidence are just the facts. So it would, in my view, it would be inappropriate to say by the preponderance of the evidence and finding illegal. This is just, we found the facts, and the facts state that there's a violation of this law.
Yep, that would be fine. Some boards include the findings of fact and conclusions of law by a preponderance of the evidence, because the burden is on the state, it's on Mr. Harris to demonstrate to you, the board, by a preponderance of the evidence that this violation has occurred. So if you're not comfortable, that's absolutely fine. You can just...
I follow the advice of my attorney. I'll do whatever you say, but...
I think you're fine just to move to adopt the findings of fact that's stated in the state's complaint would be all you would need to say. I'm just trying to get everything correct, so when I work with staff on the ultimate order, that we have everything included.
Okay. And I'm just a little confused. Didn't we already find the facts?
I'm sorry. I think, in fact, conclusions of law. So you run with the law. Yes, I am. Now you're confusing me.
So
I need more coffee. Okay. So I would just recommend, Mr. Beer, that you move to adopt the conclusions of law in the state's complaint at this point.
Okay. I move that we adopt the allegations of professional conduct 1 through 3 as stated in the state's complaint and find that the state has proved these by the preponderance of the evidence.
Second. Is there any discussion? Okay, we'll call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt all of the factual allegations of the unprofessional conduct as violations set forth in the complaint as conclusions of law presented by the state with a preponderance of evidence. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Motion passes.
I would move that we discipline Mr. Easley by revoking his certificate.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, we'll call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to revoke Mr. Easley's certificate as a PTA to work as a PTA in Arizona. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, Dr. King, members of the board.
Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Thank you, Ms. Cody. This concludes the formal hearing. The board's decision will be reduced to a written order and served to the parties. The parties will have further appeal rights that will be explained in the board's order. This concludes this matter. Thank you all for your participation. Okay. So we are going to move then to agenda item 7, informal hearing, case number 2119, Monica Norfleet. Mindy, Judy, do you need to stop recording and re-record?
We can. Let's do that to be safe. Typically, we'd probably be fine, but be safe. It's 9:54. We're going to stop recording.
Can we take just a moment break? I know we're running.